It's HPR and Helping Hand, weekly feature on HPR One stations Fridays, part of All Things Considered, and then archived online at hawaiipublicradio.org. Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and to people and animals that are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we're thrilled to have a returning guest. Right around this time of year, we get Mental Health Kōkua back on the program. They are the largest mental health nonprofit in Hawaii. They've been providing services for decades, over 40 years. And a lot of their service also works to help people who are homeless and mentally ill. They've got dozens of locations across the state on the major islands. They're part of the Coalition of Homeless Service Providers, Partners in Care. And they recently, like a lot of the homeless service providers, have gotten hold of the latest data from the point in time count. And we're going to hear about that. Hawaii has faced a homeless crisis that has put it at the most severe per capita anywhere in the U.S. We have been tied with New York as of recent numbers. We'll get an update today on and we will hear about several areas of progress with Mental Health Kōkua, support programs and mechanisms that we spoke about previously, and where they stand today. We've got their CEO, Greg Payton, returning now. Greg, great to have you here. Thanks for doing what you do, and thanks for taking some time to tell us about it.
Hey, Dave Lawrence. It's so good to be back, and thank you for the opportunity to be on Hawaii Public Radio.
Super, super welcome. And but we'll get into the numbers that have recently come out in a moment, but no doubt a lot of people have taken advantage of the services that you guys offer on a different kinds of levels, too, throughout the years. But you do some homeless outreach, case management, housing services. Talk about what you do and where you're located throughout the state, Greg.
Yeah, we have locations on Kauai, Oahu, Maui, Hilo, and Kona. We have about 43 locations right now, and we serve a little over 2,000 people a year, and we have 300 staff statewide.
Wow. And the programs in general?
The programs we provide are housing programs on various levels. We have case management, outpatient services that include psychiatry, so we prescribe medications for people. We have intensive outpatient, which is also a way for people that have drug and alcohol problems. We help them. We have a dual diagnosis with mental illness and drug and alcohol problems. We also have homeless outreach services and homeless placement services throughout the state.
How do you guys get your funding?
Comes from multiple sources, just like it does for most nonprofit organizations. We have state, federal, county, city funds on each island, plus we have United Way on each island as well.
And then people, like folks, when I give your contact information at the end, people can make contributions of their own, both by contributing financial resources, but also by being volunteers.
Being volunteers, and also there's other kinds of call to action we have. We'll talk about this maybe at the end, but we have nothing is too small. If you want to get rid of something, let us know, because the people we serve can probably use it.
Furniture and stuff, you're saying?
Clothing, yeah.
Furniture.
Hygiene items.
We'll go over that in a moment. Costs for participants to be getting service from Mental Health Kōkua?
In general, the costs, especially for our homeless folks, everything is free. Once people get into housing and they have some kind of income, usually it's an entitlement of some kind, a disability entitlement, we use the HUD standard and people pay 30% of their income, whatever that income might be.
Okay.
The rest of it would be subsidized rent.
And so recently, you guys in the Partners in Care and all the homeless service provider agencies got updated figures from the point in time count, which is something that's done across the whole country, right? They do that everywhere.
It is across the whole country. Every city that has any city that receives funds from the HUD Hearth Act, there's many sections of HUD, but the HUD Hearth Act, which is the homeless part of HUD, it's called a continuum of care. And on Oahu, that's Partners in Care. It's bridging the gap on the neighbor islands. The last week in January of each year, that point in time count is conducted across the United States. And the purpose of that is to try to find out, get a kind of a running number of how many people are homeless. And it's broken down into two categories, sheltered and unsheltered.
And what can you say about this latest go-around? You guys have been dissecting these numbers recently. What's the scoop?
Well, the good news is that the overall homelessness has dropped again in 2019. So only by 1%, but it's dropped. And that's a good thing. It's going the right direction. There's about 6,500 people that are homeless statewide. On Oahu, that's about 4,400 people. And it's a good thing. The interesting thing is that there's been an 8% decrease in sheltered homeless. So what that means is people are using more shelters. There's been a 5% increase in unsheltered. So if it seems like there's more people on the streets, even though the count is going down, that's probably why, because we're seeing more people that are unsheltered on the streets right now. And out of that whole group, families have declined about 42% since 2015, and that's a really good trend. That's very positive for us to see that families are getting the support they need to stay housed. Since last year, there was a decline of about 15%.
Wow. And so you're saying that the reason that it looks around the Honolulu area, at least, that we have, it seems like there's so many people on the streets, while there's a drop in the number of homeless, there has been an increase in people who are not in shelter. So it helps to create the image that the problem is worse.
Exactly. And the other part of that is that the count of homeless adults with mental illness has pretty much stayed about the same since 2016.
That's a quarter of everyone, basically.
About a quarter of everyone. Universally, we all believe that number is reported low. We probably think it's more in the 40% range, but at least when we go out and do the point in time count, the people that we talk to, it comes out to be about 25-30%, and that's pretty much a national average. What we've been finding, though, is that there are organizations like Mental Health Kakoa, other organizations statewide, that we all provide. We provide some mental health services, and those people. The interesting thing is, even though we place maybe, I don't know, a couple of hundred people a year that are homeless, mentally ill, the problem is that the number doesn't necessarily drop to really reflect that. What that means is people are falling into homelessness faster than we can place them.
Right, so it's really a lot of new people become homeless, so it's a kind of, there are people getting out of homelessness, but then their place is filled by somebody falling into it, is what it sounds like.
Exactly, and so we're working on that as a project for this next year to see how we might be able to impact that number.
On the way of impacting, you guys, every year when we have Greg on, and we've been fortunate to have him on, I mean, I guess you can look at it different ways. We have him on because there's an unfortunate problem. We're fortunate that we get to talk to him and try to help with the problem. But each year we hear about some of the developments that you guys have. One of those you brought along, looking at the new brochure about it, from the city and county of Honolulu. Is this their brochure or your brochure?
It's our brochure, and it's called the Punawai Rest Stop. This is the project that's sponsored by the city and county of Honolulu. And we are very fortunate, Mental Health Kakua, we are the operators of the program. It's called the Punawai Rest Stop. It's based on the urban rest stops out of Seattle, Washington. There's three of them in Seattle. They've been operating since about 1999. And we've been... We are fortunate to be selected for this program. We didn't really know what to expect, how it was going to be received on Oahu. We thought we would probably hit about 100 people a day. We would see come in for showers, do their laundry, use the restrooms, just a place to kind of come and relax and not have to worry about being on the street. So it's kind of like a day shelter for people in many ways. But it's a nice place, a hygiene center. It's a good place to be able to come and kind of regroup and restart your life each day. And we thought we might hit 100 people by the end of the first month. And we hit that on day six. Currently, we're operating at about 200 people a day that come in and use the facilities.
200 different people will take advantage of the various services over the course of each day. Is that like the same? Do you have a lot of repeated?
Yes. There's a lot of duplicated people that come in, and they're for a variety of things. They come in for showers, laundry. We have case managers on site, so the case managers work with them. They can bring their pets. We have kennels in the facility, and once a week we have these veterinarians that come in and care for the pets.
Wow. Where do they come from?
They volunteer their time from various places. We have people, they have lockers, we have small size for backpacks, we have large size lockers they can put grocery carts in. We have things you take for granted and you don't realize. Having a place where you can get your mail. If you're homeless, where do you get your mail? If you have a health plan or somebody's trying to contact you, you have a job interview, where can they send? How can they contact you, and how can they do that? And so, being able to have a place where they have a where they can receive mail. So overall, and this is a duplicated count, we're running, I think, about since January 8th when we opened till the end of or the beginning of May, we served over 18,000 visits.
Wow, and that's including repeat visits from people, but it's 18,000 times you've been able to help people in need.
Right, coming into the facility on a daily basis. Have about, I think the unduplicated count is between 800 and 900 people that signed up for services. So they would all come back for repeat visits,
sure.
As we say. But there's been about 18,000 visits since January.
That's incredible.
And we base this on the model out of Seattle. And as Ronnie Gilboa said, she was the manager of the urban rest stops in Seattle. She said, so what did these folks do before they had this service? And you wonder, people are so appreciative to be able to come in and do their laundry, have a shower. And the other thing that is a kind of a phenomenon too that we see every day is people come in at the beginning of the day and they get cleaned up and go to work and they live in their car. So here's people working full time, but they do not make enough money to be able to afford a place to live, so they live in their car.
It is always so humbling when you come in, and this place is really is a very, very humbling facility. And it's a way that, as we talk about it, patrons who go there receive free toiletries, toothbrushes, toothpaste, disposable razor, shaving cream, shampoo, soap. They can wash their clothes. And you guys provide like the laundry detergent and stuff like that?
We provide everything for free for the people to come in. Yeah.
So there's all these ways that this is a facility that could use a lot of help, it sounds like, too, in terms of, is somebody bankrolling that, or could someone listening who's touched by the fact you've got these working folks living in their car, they come in there every day, they're using some of those supplies I just mentioned. Is that a way people could sponsor to help you guys?
Oh, absolutely. Thankfully, kudos to Councilmember Manahan and to Mayor Caldwell, who was the vision of those two people who put this together. So thanks to the City and County of Honolulu for putting this together. We just happen to be the fortunate ones who are able to operate this facility. So they pay for the basic services that go on. But there's always a need for incentives, for hygiene items. So let me just give you a few ideas. So, for example, we'll give people Ziploc bags. We call them outreach incentive bags, but they're kind of like hygiene bags that they can take with them. And then in those bags, you're going to have some snack bars, some soap, travel size, deodorants, shampoos, female hygiene products, combs, brushes, razors. So if they do not make it back to the rest stop on a daily basis, at least they'll have those items for themselves to be able to work with while they're out. Other things that we commonly need, as you can imagine, we provide towels and we do provide robes, because sometimes the only clothes people have are the ones on their back, right? So they'll wash the clothes that they have. We'll have them put on a robe while they're waiting for the laundry to get done. So things that we can always use are things like towels and robes, sanitizers, mops, anything like that. And it's always helpful. So if anybody has anything like that they would like to donate, please let us know. The other thing is just clothing in general, men's and women's clothing, all sizes, as well as shoes and slippers. We do have a place where people can get those things for free and maybe swap things out. Many people don't have anything. They have no money, and this is a way they can kind of get started again.
So those are all things that people can donate to you guys, is what you're saying.
Absolutely, and they can do it easily a couple of ways. They can either give us a call, and we can facilitate that. They can call us at 737-2523. That's our main number, 737-2523. Or you can people are welcome to visit anytime, 7 to 7, 7 days a week. They can come and visit the Punawai Rest Stop at 431 Kuili Street. Down in the Evil Lay area.
And then, like, larger items that people wanted to donate to you, like furniture. What if somebody has beds, bureaus, that kind of thing, which not necessarily for the Punawai Are you saying Punavai or Punawai?
If we are politically correct, it would be Punavai.
Okay. Or is that what you've been saying?
Yes, that's what we're trying to. And the reason for that is because the name was chosen specifically as a place of well-being and rejuvenation.
That's great, and I love the idea. So not necessarily for that facility, but could you use those larger items? How does it work if people wanted to donate the beds?
Yes, absolutely. Call our main number, 737-2523, and we can arrange with you if you have larger items like that you no longer need. We can certainly use those. We have people going into housing with nothing. So,
do you come pick them up from people?
We can arrange to have that done, yes.
Okay. Maui have had interesting, again, using some techniques. I guess with a lot of this, you find techniques where it works. And I know this technique, I guess, came from the mainland too, utilizing with the police and so forth, the LEAD program.
Yes, this is another best practice from Seattle. Seattle also has quite a homeless crisis themselves, but they have also some of the best practice in the country. LEAD is one of those programs. It stands for the Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion Program. And the idea is it's a pre-booking program or pre-arrest, and it's kind of like the old jail diversion programs, but this is for people who are homeless. Many times our homeless folks will have low-level offenses, and they could get arrested for that, but instead of getting arrested for petty misdemeanors, they are diverted to us as an option. So they have a choice of going to jail or coming to us, and then we will begin to work with them on some kind of harm reduction protocol. So, for example, they might want, for in Maui, for example, we partner with Aloha House and with the shelter there, Kahaliaka Ola Resource Center. Maui Police Department makes the referrals to us as our homeless outreach. We put them either their mental health issues. We put those folks into our stabilization beds. We can put them into shelter stabilization beds. If somebody has a drug and alcohol problem, we make those referrals to Aloha House. And so what's the point of that? Well, what would happen before is people might have multiple arrests. This would be on their record. It's going to be difficult for them to actually fill out an application to get a place to live, and it's going to be difficult for them to even get like a job at some point. They say, have you ever been arrested? Well, yeah, I've been arrested a lot. So this is a way that people can actually clean up their records and get some sustainable services. If they come to us and we realize they have mental health issues, we can help them with psychiatry and with medications while we're trying to get them an ID so they can get on a health plan. So we can start weeks in advance and help them on their way to get back on their feet again.
How can people listening support the LEAD program?
Contacting the police department, people do that often. And if you see somebody on the street that you're concerned about or somebody that's a problem in front of a business, you know the next step is for them to get arrested. If they call the police department or call us, and we can intervene. In this case, it's very, very simple. If you're a concerned citizen, many times people feel angry at people that are homeless because they're confused, disoriented, and you don't know what to do, and they're maybe getting in the way of your business. You're afraid of them as a family member. You don't know what to do with these folks. This is a time when it's really okay to call the police without criminalizing people. That's the one thing that we worry about as homeless providers. We do not want to criminalize people. But in this case, calling the police is a positive thing because then the police can intervene, make those referrals to us as providers, and then we can divert them from criminalization.
So it's kind of like the way to help that thing is this call to action, sort of.
Exactly.
So less about donating something, but donating, making a call. Which will trigger this special program to kick in. And so in this case, it's not like calling the cops on someone so much as you're calling assistance. Yeah,
yeah,
you're calling for help.
And the good thing about that, the interesting thing is that we have people all the time who are confused and disoriented for a very long time on the street. Gravely disabled is what we call that. And once they get stabilized with housing, medication, and case management support, almost universally, people will thank us afterwards. because they really said, I just did not have control over my own nervous system. You helped me get back on my feet again. I got medication, got to see a doctor, and they're very, very thankful for us intervening in their life.
What are other ways? You have a lot of programs, a lot of people listening. What could you use the most help with that you think somebody driving home right now might be able to, you know, who has been touched by what is very touching to every time you're in? It's so humbling to hear this stuff with you, Greg. What else can we do to support your efforts?
You know, the biggest thing is understand that homelessness is very, very complicated. I've said this, I think, every time I've been on your show. Homelessness is very complicated. The common myths are that everybody's from the mainland, they all want to live that way. Actually, the people that we serve that are homeless adults with mental illness are almost all from here. I think our statistics for the last 3 years have been 97% of people are from here. The other is they all want to live that way. My running statement is I have never met any homeless adult with mental illness who's ever said, when I was a kid, I always wanted to grow up and be homeless and mentally ill. That's just not true. And it's very complicated. When you go through the data for the point in time guide, you can just see how many variations of that there are. So for the population that we serve, the homeless adults with mental illness, it's almost anything can be helpful. So if you're looking at, as we said earlier, nothing is too small. So if you have large items like things you want to get rid of, give us a call. We can work with you on that. If it's something you think that that you would like to just come and see, for example, just come and see our services. So if you want to stop by the Punavai rest stop, please do. You do not need an invitation. You can come in anytime. There's a reception person at the front door. Just say, I heard you guys on the radio. I wanted to come by and see what this was all about. Be glad to give you a tour. And maybe even one of the homeless people there will give you a tour of the facility. Very inspiring. So if there's clothes, hygiene items, anything like that, just remember that they can all be used and they'll be used every day. We go through tons of towels. So That's a big ticket item for us, a hot topic item. We go through a lot of towels, and sometimes people walk off with them. We never worry about that because they it's probably something that they desperately need. So we always need to replenish our supplies. So please just give us a call or just stop by and see how you might be able to help.
And volunteers?
We do take volunteers routinely in the program, and they, especially at the Punavai rest stop, volunteers are very, very needed. They can help guide people through how to do their laundry. We work with people on case management, how to navigate the computers. We have a bank of computers there so people can look for jobs. And sometimes just to come in and help us gather the data, if that feels more comfortable to you. We have a ton of data that we go through that we report out on every month. So whatever might be appealing to you, whatever feels safe to you, just let us know, and we'd be glad to have you as a volunteer.
Here's how to get in touch with this organization doing so much in the community here, mentalhealthkokua.org. You can give them a call, as Greg was saying, 808-737-2523. They can direct you to regional offices from there. And they can also take your inquiries about things you want to donate to them and how to get those items to them. And larger items, they will work with you to come pick up, correct?
Right.
You can send an email, mhk@mentalhealthkokua.org. You can find them on Facebook, on Twitter. I've got all the contact information in their online post for their Helping Hand segment. Plus, you can find all the other previous Helping Hand guests and peruse that listing at hawaiipublicradio.org, and all their contact info is there as well. It's Greg Payton. He's CEO of Mental Health Kokua. We're doing our annual review with several of the larger and more well-known homeless service providers in the area, as we do, and Greg getting that started for us today with this segment, as we still, I guess, we haven't said it, but I'm going to guess, we continue to lead the nation with the most severe homeless crisis per capita.
The dubious title, but I think we're still tied for number one, yeah.
With New York?
I believe so, yes.
So the site of the largest homeless crisis per capita in the United States, and one of the people who's on the front lines trying to do what he can, and just some humbling information that we've had today on Helping Hand. It's Mental Health Kukua and CEO, Chief Executive Officer, Greg Payton, who's been on with us a whole bunch. And thank you for doing what you do. It's so humbling. And on behalf of all those folks who come into the rest stop, you know, on their way to work, thanks for doing what you do for them and for everybody else you serve, Greg. It's very humbling.
And Dave, thank you for all that you do and for this segment. It's so important to have this segment on the radio. And thanks to Hawaii Public Radio for the opportunity.